And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and that Let's Talk Hookup app. Having a great time talking bluefin tuna on board the Tribute. It is biting right now. Last trip had limits. They're going out again tonight, and I bet you they're going to knock them out again. Man, there's been some really, really fun fishing going on, Corey. This has been a great show.
Super fun, and with all that mentioned, Rick, it's Thanksgiving Day week, man.
How wild is that?
Right, exactly. Look at the calendar. You want to join us today with Captain Mike from the Tribute? Here in the studio, you can do so 213-432-1090, or you can text us via the app, and it's a one-way deal. You got a question or a comment, already a ton of them rolling through. We're going to get to them all this hour. Stand by.
Yeah, going to be a great time, and lots of great texts coming through. Great prize, like Corey said, somebody's going to get to go fishing on board the Tribute, going to get to get in all this great fun. A rad text came through to start it off, and it just says, man, I started off my year with 150-pound bluefin on board the Tribute, fishing in the vicinity of the tuna pens, outside the vicinity of the tuna pens. I might just have to hop on the boat tonight to finish off my season in full circle. Thanks for a great year. Love fishing your boat. David Lemongrove.
Oh, so cool. Yep.
I think I remember that.
That's a rad fish.
We did. That earlier on, we had some really good fish. And not, we don't fish the tuna pens like we used to. We stay outside of them. There's some regulations, but we did have some very good fishing. I think it was June. Yeah, May,
so
June.
So rad.
Crazy. Yeah, and I remember just as some of those days pulling on fish for hours and hours and getting 16 to 20 of them. But I remember calling in and talking about some of the guys coming out with rental gear. And I know we posted a lot of those pictures where guys were coming out, never been on a boat before, getting rental gear from the landing, and then having 150, 160-pound bluefin pictures. And they're like, just like, this is the craziest thing ever. Like, some of these guys never even fished saltwater before.
So rad.
Amazing.
So rad.
And that could still happen. I mean, there could be a decent one on tonight's trip.
Oh, there's still some big fish around.
Yeah.
I know the Cortez, Rambo came back, and they had fish up to 140 pounds.
Oh, right?
There is still some big fish around. There was, I think, some big fish around last night. If you get on the right school, I mean, and you do have to bring all your tackle.
See, that's the problem with, like you said, bringing gear. You said at the beginning of the show, you got to bring all of it. The bulk of it has been that very nice school size grade, 20 to 45, 20 to 50 pounders, but you could also have 150 pounders.
You want to make sure your 100 pound setup is there, your drags in good working order, and yeah, you just don't know. I mean, the majority of it, and it's funny because you get a lot of these guys that fish multiple times throughout the year, and they're like, I don't want to catch a 150 pounder. And I said, I don't blame you. I don't want to either. Like, those 40, 50 pounders are awesome. I mean, the big ones are great. But if you're coming out multiple times a year and you don't want to just absolutely get the snot beat out of you, those 40, 50 pounders are nice.
No doubt about it.
Sounds like good times.
Yeah. Phones have been dead packed. Everybody's dying to talk to you, Mike. Let's jump right back into them, Corey.
Oh, let's do it, Rick. Let's get to Daniel. Daniel calling from Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning.
What's up, Daniel?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning.
I have a question for Mike. Hey, good morning. How often do you recommend to change that fluorocarbon? I know I use about 3 feet as a top shot, but after fighting that bluefin, you know, do you recommend just take the tooth, change it out, or just retie it?
Yeah, if you're fishing throughout the day, I check it every time. Like, we get fish, if I gaff a fish, put it on the boat, and we pull a hook out, usually I'll tell that, you know, you take a quick look at the line or whatever, but as long as you're not getting entangled or whatever, it's probably good while you're using it throughout the day. You want to retie your hooks over and over, and just, I mean, it doesn't take anything to run your fingers up the line and just do a quick fill, make sure there's no fray. If you're fishing throughout the year, like we had guys out recently where I told a guy, I looked at him, I said, how long has that hook been tied on? I don't know, since last year. Maybe it's time to, when your knot's rusted, it's time to retie.
Knot is rusted.
Fluoro, especially now, and you're using small top shots like that, it just make sure a spool a small spool of fluoro should last you throughout the trip with no problem, as long as you're using like 3 feet of it and retie it as needed. I mean, if it's got a little even discoloration to it, if it rubbed up against the side of the boat or another tangle, like I think once, you know, once that fluoro gets any kind of abrasion, it's not fluoro anymore. It stands out like anything else.
You know what I've really turned to is the Seaguar Gold. And three yellowfin this year on a popper, all untied, same outfit, not even a scratch up the line. Popper inhaled, like there was no teeth marks. Because you don't use a lot, right?
No.
And so spending a little bit extra money, and I mean, if you got it, you know, that the gold is really worth it, Daniel.
You're spending somewhere between $15 and $50 for a spool of fluoro. Yeah. And like you say, it's the cheap part. You know, there's
a very important part.
There's 75 feet on most all of those spools, and like you said, Mike, you're using 3 to 5 feet of it at a time. It should last you plenty. It should last you a good long time. And there's plenty of it on a spool, and for between $15 and $50, depending on what size you're using, when in doubt, change it out.
And some of that stuff's softer. It doesn't have as much abrasion resistance as others. Where the gold, it's a skinnier, like the 40s, like 30, you know, like that kind of diameter.
It often feels like it's 5 pounds lighter. If it's breaking right, but it, you know, 30 pound gold feels like 25 pound.
Yes.
As long as it's holding up, that's awesome. But like going back to, if you're changing your bait as frequently as you should be, you shouldn't have to worry about losing a bunch of your fluoro. So you're good to go.
Yes.
You don't want to be the guy getting cut out of a 200 foot tangle up the side.
How about reusing hooks? Do you change the hook after every fish? Do you change it after every big fish? Do you not worry about it at all? I'm asking you because you spent a lot of time fishing long range and big fish, and you know when the guy catches a 200 pounder, that hook probably shouldn't be used again. But on a 20 pounder, is it no big deal? Like, what's your thought on that?
I'm still a fan of old J hooks. Uh-huh. I mean, for the most part, the Mustad, you know, Eagle Claw,
cheap J hook.
I like the Mustad circle hooks, mm-hmm. but if there's any kind of a nick, a lot of these light wire hooks too. I mean, you look at them now and you go to pull them out and they're bent in a circle or straightened out, but it's the same thing. Take a quick look at it. I mean, it's one of those things. If it looks like it, they're not that expensive,
right?
You know, when you're talking about
in the grand scheme of things,
possibly catching a 200-pound fish, is that it's funny because you go back, and I mean, I go back a ways in the industry where that don't put your dikes on my hook, or you know, you get some of the old guys, and I'm like, you're fishing a 3 cent Mustad, like
a 94-150.
You know, it's if it looks blemished at all, I mean, it's a quick, and a lot of people don't do it. Every crew member on the boat has the ability to knock out tying a hook in seconds.
Right.
There's no reason, you know, you guys, well, I didn't, or we had one earlier on, and this is a good one. The guy goes, I knew that knot I tied last night when I was drunk wasn't going to work. And it didn't. Yeah. And I said, well, he called it.
You had that info.
We could have changed that. It was kind of funny because the guy's pulling on. He goes, I knew that knot I tied last night when I was drunk wasn't going to work. And I said, but here we are.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's funny. Well, let's jump back into the phones. Corey?
Let's do it, Rick. How about Ben? Ben Cole from Huntington Beach. Good morning, Ben. Appreciate you joining us.
What's up, Ben?
Morning. How's it going, guys?
Doing great.
Good morning.
I'm just out here fishing the break while out in Long Beach, calling to see if you guys have any tips for white sea bass.
Wow.
Well, that's a. I think we're all sending that one to Corey. What's the break wall? What's the break wall info?
I'm gonna have to pass it on to Mark Wish. I don't know. I mean, has there been white sea bass on the wall, Ben? He might not be there any longer, but so
hopefully he's pulling on a white sea bass.
I mean, one of the things I've heard is mackerel. Mackerel on the wall will get you that sea bass, and it'll probably get you a 7 pound calico.
I was going to say a world world record calico.
Yeah.
Calicos do like eating greenies, man. There's no doubt about it.
And they do. They go up and down that wall, but I think with the squid around, it might be a little bit different bite. You know, gotcha. Like Mark mentioned yesterday, there's a lot of squid up and down the coast, so.
What about that, like, you know, I mean, I know we fish it in the kelp when that kelp is pushed down, and it's a good way to fish it over the top of, like, you know, heavy current kelp scenarios, but can you fish a Hamburguesa-type rig in a rock structure like that? Or
absolutely.
Okay.
Because it's more of a wall. It's more of a, you could hit the water 20 feet from the wall and present it You don't have to worry about the weeds. You don't have to. And that's the cool part too, is there's a lot of kelp that grows on that thing, and on like a medium to lower tide, there's like literally a 10 to 20 foot wide kelp bed that we fish weedless on.
That's cool.
That we've done it there too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I hope you find them, and I hope you hang one. Right. Best of luck, and I hope you find that sea bass on the wall.
And report back.
Yeah.
Send us a text.
No doubt. Well, speaking of text, this one. Good morning, guys. Mike, where did you get started in the fishing industry, and how did you come into owning the Tribute? I haven't fished on it yet, but I'm absolutely love. I love all these things I'm hearing about the boat. I can't wait to ride with you, and I love hearing your reports every week on Let's Talk Hookup.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because I was actually thinking about it before I got here, but originally I grew up in Fillmore, up in Ventura County, out by Magic Mountain. Fished as a kid, moved from Fillmore to Ventura when I was like 9, and I hated it. I didn't want to move. I grew up I shooting, dirt bike riding, fish and trout, whatever, fishing Lake Piru, casitas, castaic, stuff like that. And, of course, that took about a month before all of a sudden I discovered the ocean. I surfed all the time. My mom worked at a restaurant called Pacific Currents up in Ventura. It used to be Scotch and Sirloin, and they own Ventura Sport Fishing. So I spent hours and hours daily just either on the docks or whatever. A guy named Dennis Evans was the first guy I ever really worked for. He owned a little charter boat called the Pacer, had the Big Mama. Different day and age, but I mean, I was on a boat every day when I was 10, 11 years old.
How cool.
Just growing up in the industry, Pat Cavanaugh, I probably met him when I was 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. He was a few years older than I was. I think Bill Cavanaugh is the first one who ever gave me any tip money. I remember cleaning barf out of a toilet, and he gave me $3, and I was like, great. I went up and played pinball in Ventura Sport Fishing. But so that's where it started. I worked on the Mirage, the Pacific Eagle up in Ventura, or at Port Wayne at the time. Came down here. The Excel was the first boat I ran. I think I was like 22 or something. Looking back on it, it still seems
crazy.
Weird.
Did you go to the XL from working up there? Or did you work on boats in San Diego before you started?
I came down and worked for Fraker City on the Coral Sea. I spent a summer with him. He offered to pay for me to get my license. I didn't want to leave San Diego. I was dating a girl in Temecula at the time, so I didn't want to leave down here. So I worked on the Producer for about 4 years, got my captain's license there when I was 20, started working for Ray. Great fisherman, great guy to learn from.
Hardest guy ever
to work for. But some of the stuff, and I hope he's listening. Great fisherman, but some of the stuff I got yelled at.
One of the best fishermen. Come on.
I remember getting yelled at for spitting sunflower seeds in the trash can, and he goes, did you just spit sunflower seeds in my trash can? Can I go, is that bad? But where else are they? But he was a
hardcore
great bait fisherman. What a great guy to learn from.
Yeah.
And ended up going to work with Pat and Bill on the XL, and worked for Bill Poole for years. That's where the Tribute's name came into play. Ran the International Star. I did everything I could to try to get a boat when I was young. And it's funny because you don't see it anymore. I wanted to buy a boat. I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in this industry.
Yeah.
I ran the Legend for Raquel Trowbridge for a season after her and Sean had their split up, and the boat was basically going back to the bank. I was on the Excel, and Frank Lopresti called, and he wanted to talk, and he goes, hey, man, are you interested in trying to find a boat to replace the Legend? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm great run. What? Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, it's got to sleep at least 32. We want a bigger boat, and you have first shot. So,
because you've been hustling so hard, wanting to.
And part of the family.
I had a great year running the Legend.
Yeah, sure.
He goes, you know, your fish can't speak for themselves. He goes, you know.
You earned the spot, basically.
There was a lot of work put into that. And so it turned into looking for boats. I looked at some boats that people were completely nuts about the price. And, you know, I looked at the Oceanside 95, just bigger boats. I wanted to make sure it was something big and comfortable. And went and talked to Tim Boeklander. It was the Dolphin 3. Kind of set up a deal with him, which turned into a deal with Mary Lou Lopresti, which turned into me buying the boat out from her. But it was like a dream come true for me.
That's rad.
Well, Frank called me, and I think Justin goes, hey, Frank wants to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, shit, what did I do?
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Like, this can't be good.
And he goes, boss is calling.
Yeah, he goes, Mike, I want to give you a first shot at finding a boat to replace the Legend. And I think I was starting out a 16-day or something. I almost fell over.
How cool, though.
That's rad,
but it's so cool amazing story. Now because there's so many kids in our industry that I'm like, don't you want to buy into a boat? And they're like, meh. Like, what do you mean, meh?
Yeah,
like, either you're going to stay in and do it or do it right.
Meaning that was all. That was 100% of your focus. That's all you wanted to do. That's all you were striving for.
You think about it, and there's so many good guys in this industry that have. Frank's a good one. Tim, Randy, you know, all these guys that are helping these young guys get into boats because.
Brian talks about it all the time.
It's impossible. You think about it, and you're like, okay, I need to come up with $300,000 for a down payment. And as a 20-year-old kid, you're shooting really high. I had a passenger years ago. He goes, well, I can loan you the money, but I need to be paid back this year. And I was like, I can't do that. So we're working my way into it and working. Mary Lou Lepresti bought the boat. I ended up buying it from her. But trying to have that opportunity was just, it was unreal. And it's worked out really well.
And a beautiful home, man. Seaforth, you got prime spot on the dock. It's so friendly. I mean, obviously, you know, I was part of the family over there at Seaforth. And it's so, Rick hates you here. We'll talk about it on this side over here. Free parking and just, it's so peaceful. And it's
that first year.
Not that fishermen's isn't.
Well, no. Marcos and I joke about this. Yeah. I mean, I grew up there. Like, that's where I grew up fishing. I mean, I grew up fishing on the new Seaforth and the Mission Bell and the San Diego. I mean, that's my home and my roots, you know. I mean, that's why Marcos and I joke so much about Seaforth and fishermen. I mean, my whole lifetime fishing with my dad grew up fishing at Seaforth. I love that place.
He likes the free parking.
I love everything about it. It's the second best tackle store in all of San Diego. I mean, what's not to like about that? That's awesome.
That first year, John Yamati goes, so what do you think? And I'm like, I can't believe I've never worked here before.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, this area down here is great. You put a lot of people in and out of here. And
at a Fisherman's Point, Fisherman's Point, H&M. There's a buzz here.
When I first went over, the nighttime, the buzz, the high you get on a good Friday night in August, it's unreal.
Yeah.
Or even a Sunday morning, like right now. I mean, the boats are unloading, things are happening. Yeah.
But I remember John asking me, he goes, so what do you think about it? I'm like, I can't believe I've never been here before. I spent years down here and never even drove into that parking lot, and now I don't want to. It's like living in Alpine. I gave a lot of my buddies grief about moving up there, but it's one of those things, once you're there, you don't want to leave.
Right, yeah.
You don't. There's no reason, when you'd leave Seaforth, and if I have to come over here and get something, and I start getting in line for the park, I'm like, oh, man, I love where I am.
Right, exactly. Hey, we've got them, Rick.
It's time, man. Yeah, it's time to find out what's biting. We got the man, your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen, standing by today. That catch report, it's sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. The best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros the Market, you can purchase their famous spices, their rubs, the poke kit, and more. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure you make those reservations. We've been talking all week about all these great trip opportunities that are happening. There's been spots on the Royal Polaris, spots on the Royal Star. Make sure you make your reservations for fish processing as soon as you book your trip your fishing trip reservations. You can text Fish Pros at 619-255-3128 to secure your spot. Let's talk to them. Your saltwater guide, our fishdope.com reporter, Captain Dave Hansen. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Rick, Corey, Mike. Good to listen to you, Mike, always. I loved listening to you an hour ago when you were saying change your bait. I must have said that in my career about 8 billion times. It's just amazing when they tell you, they turn around and they go, well, it's still swimming. Well, good. You got a swimming bait. That's wonderful. Wouldn't you like a fish?
Well, that's that thing. It crossed my mind. I said, you know how many times that thing's been looked at by another fish? Like, it doesn't matter if it's swimming. It's not working.
Yeah, right. It's so funny, though. They want to you're like, dude, I'm just trying to get you bit, but they want to argue. It's the funniest thing. But, hey, gang, unbelievable. I'm down here in Dana Point right now. It's flat, glassy, calm. The sun's out. It's got to be like 65, 70 degrees. It's absolutely incredible. I'm going out on the Clemente. I'm going to go a half day fishing with my grandson today. Cool. Pretty amazing. I'm pretty excited. I haven't been on a sport boat in, I bet it's been 15 years. So I'm excited. I'm going out there. Sounds like there's a little bit of calico bass to catch. I was listening to Brian Woolley's report. Sounds like we might have fun today. We're bringing 45 of our closest friends with us, so it's going to be quite spectacular. I'm really looking forward to it. But let's talk about the fishing. Catalina is still very, very consistent. It's really fun fishing. East End, lots of bonita, really good calico bass fishing, middle backside of the island, if you find any type of conditions at all. And the whole island, there's squid all the way around the island, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. There's up at the Channel Islands, it's mostly rockfish right now, but there is a little bit of sea bass around Prisoners and Chinese Harbor, and there's lots of squid outside of Chinese Harbor. There's also lots of squid on the beach on the condo area, and then there's squid in El Segundo Pipe. There's squid off that pipe there. There's squid still off of Isers and in Huntington Beach, and then look at, I know Mike's been talking about it all morning, but look, here we are. We're approaching the end of November, Thanksgiving bluefin. That's pretty incredible. And like Mike's saying, I don't see it leaving. I don't see it going anywhere. We got bitching weather, and the stuff's just hanging. It doesn't want to go anywhere. All its food's here. So like I say, every week, there's no reason to put your rods and reels away. And like Mike Fisher was saying, what a bitching time to go fishing. The fish are biting, right, and the people, the boat isn't packed. I mean, like you said, Rick, if it was July, you couldn't buy a spot. Right now, you can go on the boat if you want, and he's got a trip tonight. So I would go if I was you and have some bluefin on the table for Thanksgiving. That'd be rad.
I like the crowd pleaser.
I like your style. Well, if somebody wants to keep in touch with what's going on with FishDope.com, you can save $20 off of a new membership by using the code HOOKUPNOW. HOOKUPNOW, it's all lowercase, no space. Saves you $20 off a new membership. And as we're coming close to Christmas time, a great holiday gift. And if somebody wants to keep in touch with you, Captain Dave, how do we do that?
Well, if you're on social media at all, you probably got a pretty good chance of seeing me. It's Your Saltwater Guide, and I got a bitchin' website, Your Saltwater Guide, so you don't have to follow Mike Pritchard around. You can actually go find your own fish. All right.
Great
Thank
job, Dave.
Guys.
Good luck with the calicos today. Say hi to the boys at Dana for us, and have a great time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
See you, buddy. Appreciate that very much. Hey, another great text came through. It says, good morning, guys. I want to stop by saying thanks to all the guys at Fisherman's Landing for getting us dialed in on a new rail rod during tackle days. I picked up our new rail rod, an International 16 with 100-pound hollow on it. My question is, how many times do I need to do a how many times should I loop my loop through a cat's paw connection for my wind-on leader? And that's thanks from Alex in San Carlos. And, Alex, we'd like three times. That's our number for a cat's paw. Three times through a loop-to-loop. One will hold. Three gives it cushion, and it's just a stronger deal. So three times.
And it's so quick.
Three times through on a loop-to-loop, cinch it up, away you go.
All done.
Done deal.
Go pretty get, simple. Go get, I mean, how long does that take? Fin. 10 seconds?
Yeah, quick. Quick, yeah. Quick and easy, man. That wind-on connection sure is a fast and easy way to do it. And if you're not confident, you know, if you're the guy that was drunk tying his knot at the end of the night, that wind on sure is a nice way to go, man. You can have your reels relatively full of spectra. You can have your tackle store install a nice loop on the reel, whether they splice a loop in hollow or tie a bimini in solid, and all of your reels will terminate into a loop, and then you can buy pre-made wind on leaders that already come with a loop on them. You just put one loop through the other loop three times, cinch it up, and away you go. No knots, no nothing. Lines clean, 100% connection, and yeah, away you go. Yeah,
great arsenal to have. Just and like you said, it's so quick. And if you're even like iffy about your connection or your leader, you just, I mean, if you haven't pre-made it, it's seconds.
Totally. And in just the way of changing, you know, when Mike, when you first started working on the XL, guys would go on the boat with a duffel bag full of spools of line for doing line changes. And now you can, you could have, you know, in a backpack, you could have 30 wind-on leaders. You could change every rig every night if you wanted to, and it takes up no space, no nothing. You know, you could change all your outfits. No space. Yeah, just it's
we're
the way.
Talking about some of the stuff that just kind of doesn't have. I mean, on sport boats, when I first started working on the XL, we had crates and crates and crates of reels to change throughout the night. And a lot of them, I mean, that was kind of, Spectra was a thing, but wasn't that big of a thing. So a lot of these, you had to change out 40 reels throughout the night, and you're talking
with
about
monofilament.
Full. Yeah, the boat would be rolling. You'd wake up for your watch, and you'd go look, and you're just like, oh. And then slowly it just got easier and easier and easier, and now there's pretty much nothing.
But that was the era, I mean, the era of dropping skiffs in the water or
watching
another rod and reel go in the water.
Watching a reel get emptied in seconds, and you're looking at, well, now it's like you watch somebody start getting swollen, you're like, why don't you have Spectron?
Yeah.
When Spectra first came on scene for long range fishing, our average top shot length was 300 yards. Like that was the setup. Like that's what you wanted. Nobody liked the Spectra. The idea was that you had extra of it on the reel for backing, but you didn't want to see it unless it was the type of fish
so
that was
weird.
Going to school you. Like
it was only for backup.
Yeah, it was for that. It was like an anti-backup rod tool, not anything else. Like the average fish fighting that you did was still 100% in mono. But yeah, that was the deal.
It was like
300-yard top shot was our average length back then, and then it just increasingly got shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter.
It was like seeing Dacron on the bottom of the rental reel.
Totally.
Like, what's that?
What is that down there for?
We can definitely say times have changed.
No doubt about it.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. Well, with that said, we're going to take a quick one, Corey.
Hey, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to be, man, the lines are full, Rick. We're going to be getting to them when we get back on the Let's Talk Hookup about the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey, we're so lucky here in San Diego. We have fantastic weather and great fishing. We also have three great shops to take care of anglers. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay. We call it the one-stop shopper, a great day on the water because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop headed by Johnny is certainly one of the best. We have you covered from bay bass to big tuna. Plus, we have Doug, one of the finest reel repair guys around. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. Jeet and the guys have the best rod and reels, the hottest lures, and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle. Growing their stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove. And Dana Landing is next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
I got a garage full of fishing tackle, and every time I get out on the water, I realize I forgot something important. But I never forget my life jacket. I make sure my buddies wear theirs too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Gamakatsu has always been the name in fish hooks, but now they're making a name in fillet knives. Custom-designed Gamakatsu fillet knives feature G-grip handles for secure grip. Built with 420 J2 stainless steel and a diamond-like carbon finish to retain the edge and resist rust. The Gamakatsu fillet knife comes in a variety of shapes and sizes and even comes with a durable sheath for protection. Gamakatsu also makes amazing everyday carry knives, too. Get Gamakatsu knives at your local tackle retailer or at gamakatsu.com.
Long range fishing, nothing beats Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Come check out the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag 2-speed reels. The Talica features Shimano's Hagani body when throwing jigs. The Shimano Trinidad is your top choice. With the extreme cranking power and Shimano's Super Free Spool provides extreme castability. You'll be able to put your jig in the Wahoo zone. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and having so much fun in studio. And you were just telling us a cool story coming back from Florida, Mike.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, let's talk about it, right?
Went out to meet some of my, well, now my fiance's family.
Hey,
proposed to her while I was out there to.
Congratulations.
The future Melissa Pritchard, which sounds weird.
Congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Sounds awesome, actually.
It was an interesting trip. You know what's funny is going, I've been to Florida once, Pompano Beach. This is Bradenton, which. Most people probably don't even know where it is, but went out there to see her family, visit her aunt I'd never met before, her mom's husband, who, if you're ever going to surprise somebody, this man's 91 years old, and he's still doing pretty good, but they didn't know we were coming out at all.
Okay.
To be standing in somebody's house that didn't know that you're showing up and don't know who you are at 8:30 at night, that's been probably watching TV for a while, like, I got to give a shout out to him. I feel bad. I felt pretty bad. He's standing there like,
Who are you people?
Yeah,
that's funny.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Well, thank you very
much. That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's great news. That's cool.
One.
No doubt about it.
And it's interesting. I didn't know anywhere could be that close to the water. So Bradenton's like kind of up in the Gulf side. And we're staying at this neat little Airbnb, and it's like $100 a night. I said, how can it be $100 a night? And I look at it like Zillow. It's like $399. So I don't understand. California's broken.
So maybe buying a vacation spot now? And
we might end up with a house out there. It's a neat area, but it's just amazing that something that could be that close to the water.
And that beautiful.
And that cheap.
It's not millions.
It just makes
you
realize, like, we went out to dinner, and I remember, like, looking, like, a Corona was $4. And I was like, what is wrong with this place?
Well, maybe I need Maybe I need to remind you, a few hurricanes in the last two seasons have swept right through
well,
there.
Well, that might have something to do
with it. That might.
Well, remember our hurricane? That did some damage to us. I mean, I think it blew over a plant or something.
You had to pick up all your lawn furniture.
Oh, good stuff.
Well, man. The phones are absolutely packed up. Everybody's excited to talk to you, and a big congratulations, man. That's rad.
Congratulations.
Why don't we jump back into them, Corey?
Let's do it. They've been very patient. Chuck from Dana Point. Good morning, Chuck.
What's up, Chuck?
Hey, congratulations on getting married. Is she a fisherwoman?
Not really. Which is probably better.
But she puts up with it.
She's been out on the boat a couple of times. It's not really her thing. She loves to eat it. She has no problem cleaning it or being around it. But
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, no, it is perfect.
Cool. As long as she likes
it. I think I fished with you a few times albacore season with Ray, and then I was wondering up north. That's where the big ones used to come in. I was wondering if you did any of that. I got my 50-pounder up there, and I can't find anybody else that's been up there and saw that. They used to swoop in and come in up there. Did that do that when you were a kid?
Not so much up north. 95, we had really good salmon fishing in Ventura, and then that fall we had a shot at some albacore. And some of them were big ones. Remember the killer whales eating some of them, which was a whole different world.
Seriously?
Wow.
We had like a trip on the Pacific Eagle. We got the crud beat out of us on several trips. We get out there, we're catching like these 60 to 80 pound bluefin, which at the time for me was like the biggest thing ever.
I mean, those are huge.
And some really nice, albacore up to 40 pounds. And I see this killer whale go across the mountain. I was like, oh, wow, look at that. That's cool. It's not. They start eating them, and guys are, you're fishing a Daiwa sea lion with 25 pound and an old saber. Yeah. And these guys are like, well, that thing just ate my albacore. What do I do? And I said, I have no idea.
Yeah. All right.
What do you do?
What can you do?
Yeah, I mean, it was neat for a little bit, and then we ended up moving. We got a jig strike that came in and ate our troll fish. But those big albacore, it's going to be so neat this time around whenever it shows up. We were talking about earlier some of the areas we can't fish anymore. There's a lot of young skippers on the water right now that wouldn't even know what we're talking about.
They have no clue. There's an entire, like, I want to say a generation. There's probably two generations that are so disconnected from what this fleet was actually built upon.
The areas that we fished, the stuff that we did, like your morning colors, your root beer. There's a lot of great trolling lures out now, which will probably work just fine. But some of the stuff that we did, people would look at us now and be like, we're talking about fishing like South Pleiades and Santa. Some of the areas. A lot of these guys, you bring up the name, they have no idea what you're talking about.
No clue.
It's going to be a very interesting turn. Like, how many guys are going to go gaff their first couple of big albacore and watch, wait, why did it fall off?
soft, right?
You know, it's like gaff and salmon, like in a lot of ways. It's going to be interesting.
I always say, like, I think the crew of guys that we have at the tackle store are like the fishiest. I mean, the fishiest kids in the world. That's all they do. They live it. They breathe it. They fish every day off they have. Unbelievable at it. So knowledgeable. So good with the tackle. And there's only a couple of them that have ever even seen a live albacore. You know what I mean? Like, it's just...
Think about that big eye.
Some of these kids are unbelievable at what they do. But it's been some years now since we've had that fishing around. You know, like, a lot of those guys were... I was three when that happened, or I wasn't even alive when that happened.
We caught one albacore this year.
Okay.
And we were fishing out by the Cortez, and we had pretty decent morning fishing. And us coming in, I had been running the boat, fishing the night. I'd been up since, like, 2, since we had really bad weather. I had a guy, Frank, driving the boat, and he stopped, and he came down, and he goes, "Hey, you got to wake up." I said, "I've been asleep for 2 hours. Why am I waking up?" Because we caught an albacore. And I was like, "So? Is it only one?" I mean, I've been blessed to see 1,000 fish albacore days, like great albacore fish. And it is neat, but it's going to be so weird when they do show up. Like,
so cool, though.
It's gonna be fun.
Just looking down in the water, and you're looking at this thing flying around.
Totally.
Or big eye are the same way. They're upright, and then you're like, why does that thing have long arms?
Big old wings on
Yeah,
beautiful.
Cool.
I mean, truly, we are in one of the most epic, like, cycles that we've been in with 10 years of bluefin and the most epic and huge. I mean, like, in the Bight of California, like, cow-sized bluefin, right?
Well, it turns out, I mean, they're being born here now, according to, I mean, that might just change everything.
But imagine that albacore mixed in with that. Like, whoa. Just leave it at that. Just imagine.
I mean, we don't get to sleep anyway on trips anymore. But so you're jig fishing bluefin all night, and then you go fish albacore during the day, like... It's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So rad.
I'm ready.
Phones are packed, Corey.
Tom from Temecula. Good morning. Appreciate you joining us.
Hey, Tom.
Morning, guys. Morning, Mike.
Hey,
Mike, I got a question. With the nice jig fishing, how many fish do you see foul hooked in a season? I had one, I think, last year that was foul hooked. It came up really easy in the middle of the night. And then just this last week, I hooked one, and I was on 50-pound tackle, and that thing got up to deep color, and we could not move that thing with the drag buttoned all the way down. And is there anything to some of those fish getting stuck in that thermocline that's below the boat? And might that have been part of the problem before I pulled the hook? Or maybe it was foul hooked.
Well, a lot of these jigs now, a lot of the sinker rigs, a lot of this, they have so many hooks on them. I mean, you're watching bluefin that you could see try to eat the jig properly, and they'll come out their gills. You know, they'll swallow it, it'll come out their gills, hook them in the side. There's trying to drag even a 50-pound fish up sideways is a whole different world.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's so much the thermocline. I think a lot of it is when you see that fish at deep color, the fish... Yeah, well, hard to say exactly what their vision's like, but they don't know what's going on. They ate this thing. They got a pain in the mouth. They're trying to figure. But I think once they start seeing the boat, it's like almost anything else. They know that there's something wrong. There's, you know, you start seeing those things at deep color, and you can't move them. It's, you know, looking at it from a fish standpoint, that they realize whatever is going on is getting worse as it gets closer to the boat. And I mean, you got to give fish some of those things credit. They just. You watch them, you know, beat the crud out of somebody for an hour at color and end up breaking off or whatever. You're like, yeah, kind of give the fish a little credit on that one, man. That's rad. But with a lot of these new setups, a lot of the multiple hooks on, like, the jig knives and stuff, I mean, it's or knife jigs, you do see a lot more foul hooked, and sometimes it's beneficial and sometimes it's not. You know, you see Dorado get hooked in the side, and you get a 20-pound Dorado foul hooked, and it's like dragging up a piece of plywood.
Sounds like a mess.
Yeah, it's no fun.
What's your favorite setup for rigging those knife jigs? Like, what do you like for hooks? Do you like on the top, on the bottom, everywhere, just on the bottom? What's your take?
It seems to change every time you come up with something new, and I was like, oh, this is going to be the setup. Like, it's funny, the 16-ounce sinker with three hooks on it, like, who would have ever thought?
Sure.
And I hate to say they're like $60 now or whatever they are for a rigged one, but you know, I'm still a big fan of having one good hook in the fish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can get away with it, the less, you know, the better. There's so many other possibilities and the tangles that you start seeing with, you know, a lot of these setups where you have three or four hooks on a jig. You're pulling on a fish, that thing goes by another one, and you can't, it's not just getting the lines apart.
Sure.
You know, there's a hook holding these two together and a line holding it together. It does create a lot more problems, but I don't know. The evolution of our jig fishing is still blowing me away. It changes every year. Every time we think it's, like, remember when the flatfall first came out, I go, what a stupid jig. But it got bit.
But it works.
And people are going, how do you fish it? I'm like, I have no idea. That guy got bit on the sink. That guy got bit winding it up at half speed. That guy got bit in gear. But, you know, it'll be neat to see what happens this time around with albacore, too. It's just, you know, a lot of these jigs that we would have told somebody not to use 10 years ago are money.
Could have been the entire boat.
Yeah,
honestly.
A whole different world.
Yeah. You are so right about that. I mean, go back 10 years and look at a knife jig today. Look at a 400-gram knife jig. And if somebody looked at you and said, this is going to be the hottest thing for catching bluefin tuna, and, like, you'd tell them they were wild.
And on top of that, Rick, tell them they're going to be fishing at night.
Yeah, it'll all be in the dark, too.
Right? I mean, think of how many decades you ran over fish. Like, how many years on the XL that you ran over fish at night?
I don't know. A lot of people are like, well, so we didn't try. We saw fish at night, and there was, I remember a 200-pound bluefin being caught on the Galilean years ago, and everybody was just blown away, but that could have been a comment that we don't know.
Sure.
But we also didn't drive over giant stacks of, I mean, we might not have been looking at 50 or 60 or 80 fathoms, but I remember driving throughout the night, you see albacore all night,
mm-hmm.
and albacore didn't bite at night. You'd catch some right after the sun went down, but I don't even know. Like, same thing, if you would have told a crew member 20 years ago, you're going to be up all night fishing,
they would have laughed at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, great fishing now, you get limits of bluefin, that's rad, but it's such a huge departure from what we've done, and
totally.
it's you know, a lot of these crew members are like, man, we had to cut 100 fish last night. You're like, that is nothing.
that was a good morning hit.
Yeah,
back in the day.
Cutting 400 or 500 fish on the way in on an overnight trip where you have a 2-hour window to do it. Like, it's just such a weird day and age. But the night fishing and the change in jigs and setups and everything else. And now when we get done, like, we've had really good bluefin fishing. And if we're done, you know, we have limits of bluefin, we're done at night. People are like, what do you mean we're going in? I said, well, that's what you do. You can't keep any more fish. Like, that we're going to go home. And they're like, then what? What do you mean? Like, we had a guy, he goes, so what are we doing tonight? I said, we're going home. We got to be in the morning. He goes, no, before that. And I said, we're 5 hours away from home. We're going home. He goes, well, what about nighttime fishing? I said, we can't keep any more bluefin. Like, what?
Yeah, I know this
is a weird problem to have, but
yeah, we're done.
we used to sleep at night. I know it sounds weird.
Hey, a fun text come through. It says, Mike, how do you decide on what passenger load to have on each trip? I totally get both sides of it. I'm the type of guy that likes to pay a little extra but have a few less on the boat, but I understand both sides of it. Who makes the call and what's best for you? That's from Dave in San Diego.
Well, Dave, if you want to fish with less people, we do charters. And we have done multiple charters this year where we had 15 or 16 people.
No way.
Our passenger load, like, it's a thing. I mean, everything's got to pencil out. Mm-hmm. There's got to be money made. Otherwise, none of us go anywhere. So
totally.
We do a limited load. The boat sleeps 56 if we want to do. But we sleep 32. It's a very comfortable load on day and a half. So as we stretch out our trips, like, our 2 days are limited to 28. 2.5 days are 26 now. So you're starting to see less and less people on the boat. If you're a fan of fishing with a light load, we do charters, and mm-hmm. we have groups that, you know, want to bring 35 or 36 people to cut down on the per person price. And then we have people that bring 12, you know.
So the charter price is like you would a boatload of 32 people. I mean, that's basically the charter price.
Yep.
And then from there, Dave could divvied up between 20 people.
If you want to come out by yourself, if you handful of guys, if you don't want to come out, we'll go fish for you.
Yeah. There it is.
But it's one of those things. You're starting to see less and less people. Like, even on our three-quarter days, and we haven't done one in a long time, but we put 45 people on the boat, and I go, I don't ever want to see this many people on the boat again. That used to be a light load for an overnight trip.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the thing is, you have a big boat, and it's big, and it's wide, and it's long, and it carries a lot of passengers
Designed to, yes.
That's the thing. Like, that boat was made to put a lot of people on it. 35 people is not a, it's a fraction of what that boat carried for the majority of its lifetime.
56, I think, was a normal overnight load. And we do 32 people, and you start seeing a lot of the loads drop down, but you're looking at, a 65-foot boat saying that they're doing limited load at 30. So we're 15 feet longer. It's just there's more room. There's extra bunks to put your stuff on. There's a lot of room on the boat. But it's the day and age of seeing 60 people on an overnight boat. It's just, especially with new Coast Guard regulations, it's gone.
Yeah.
You're not going to see it. I remember a guy named Dennis Moses that was our second captain on the producer for years. Talked about going to albacore fishing on the Qualifier 105. He got on the boat and signed in at like 21 or something. He woke up and there was like 115 people on the boat.
How crazy.
I said, where did they sleep? And he goes, wherever they could.
Yeah.
But that was that era. It wasn't just the Qualifier 105. It was all the boats.
I fished the Shogun out of L.A. with 72 people fishing yellowtail. And that's not
that heavy of a load.
I had one of like seven yellows, but you had to literally fight your way into the corner if you had a fish on. And it was just... I don't think you'll see it anymore, and I always wanted to. I remember talking to RJ when he was running the new Seaforth, and they were catching, like, U.S. limits of Dorado for 70 people. And I said, I just want to go watch.
Yeah, just be up top and watch the show.
He goes, you don't gaff all of them. You gaff what's convenient. But that day and age is gone. It's neat.
Yeah.
I remember selling tickets for the new Seaforth. You ready? 100 people was a common weekend load. 100 people. Like, now they limit it. It's, I think, 48 or 50.
I don't even
or,
know if it's that.
Yeah, it's somewhere in that number. It's half the amount of people.
Yeah.
So
it's just a better passenger experience.
Yeah,
and that's what it is. That's what it comes down to.
And for the crew, too.
Totally.
It's a better experience.
You look at the San Diego, which is basically the same boat, and it's a few feet shorter, but 34 people. He used to be a daily 42, 45, 50 plus, and it's just... it'll never go back to what it was. And,
it's
COVID,
a beautiful thing.
It is.
Yeah.
But I couldn't even, you get a crew member that come on the boat now, they're like, oh, man, 30 people. And it's like, you don't know.
Well, hey, not a lot of time. Let's see if we can sneak a fast one in real quick for Tom calling from University City. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Oh, this has been such a great show. I'm super excited. I'm going to go fishing. My question is: these bluefin that you've caught in the last few days, Mike, are they really deep where you need the bigger knife jigs, or are these smaller fish kind of a little shallower? What's been going on?
Not the small jigs have actually been working really good lately. Like the Colt snipers. I mean, you still want to bring everything, but everything seems like it's been a little bit higher up. We're not seeing 80 to 100 fathom schools or anything odd like that. A lot of our daytime fish are 10 to 15 fathoms. A lot of the nighttime fish are 20 to 40 fathoms, which earlier in the year, for whatever reason, you're seeing a lot more 50 to 80. And, you still see it come through on that bigger fish, but you want to make sure you bring an assortment of smaller jigs with you. They've definitely been pretty key lately.
That's awesome. Tom, thanks a lot for the phone
call. Right, I know. You might have your chance of going tonight, right? So, hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to find that out when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Back in 1979, my parents started Fast Lane Sailing Center. They lived in a VW van in the parking lot and sold catamaran sailboats. And over the years, the shop has evolved. They've sold everything from windsurfers to barbecues, paddleboards, and trailers. Here's the point. For over 40 years, my parents, and eventually me, my brother Jared, and sister Ava, have been in the business of fun and making memories on the water with friends and family. If something's in the shop, it's a product we use, are passionate, and knowledgeable about, and want to share with you. We encourage you to come down to our shop, Fast Lane Kayaking on Mission Bay, and check out our huge selection of Hobie Mirage kayaks, accessories, and more. And let's get you on the water, fishing with friends, enjoying the coast with your family, or exploring mountain lakes in solitude. In other words, having fun and making memories.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Pisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check IndependenceSportFishing.com.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone, the Ford F-150, available with a pro-power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and what a fun show, man.
That was awesome.
Like all the history, so talking about all the fishing, possibility of albacore. I love it all.
Yeah, and I was dead on about Pete not making it on the air. As he should. A proper celebration.
Yeah.
Meant
4 minutes.
Yeah, hey. Proper celebration meant we talk about it next weekend, not this one.
The Baja Mayor,
exactly,
the band,
yeah.
Margaritas.
No way that was happening today, and rightfully so. Mike's going to do us the honors of flipping that coin. He's going to designate whether we have a caller or texter going fishing with you on the tribute.
We got
the
spin.
You better slap that thing down.
A caller.
We've got a lot of time.
A caller happens to be Ben. Ben in Huntington Beach. Congratulations.
Ben, congratulations, buddy. That's
so
rad.
Good to go to Vegas.
Mike can't even begin to say, you know, I want to do take a real quick minute to tell you how much we appreciate you doing such a good job, always keeping us up to date. You do such a good job. Your on-the-water reports are everybody's favorite around here. And you do it right, man. Good, bad, or indifferent. You tell us when it's biting. You tell us when it's slow. You give a great job of when and where and what, and we really appreciate that. And you're going tonight. If somebody wants to go fishing with you on board the Tribute to get in on this fishing right now, how's it done?
Seaforth Landing, 619-224-3383. You can book through seaforthlanding.com, tributesportfishing.com. We do have pictures up of everything from our fish to our awesome dinners and everything else on our Facebook and Instagram page. So
great social media follow. You do an excellent
job. We do have, like, I think 10 spots left. And
I just looked. There is 10 spots. Get them now.
They're going to fill up. You know, it's... That Thanksgiving turkey is starting to sound pretty good when it's topped off with some bluefin.
I love it, man. C4 Sport Fishing, a great job, and good luck tonight. I hope you guys rope them. And we want to thank you for listening. A great job and a lot of fun. Next weekend, a couple of great shows. Next Saturday, Captain Tim Ekstrom from the Royal Star. And next Sunday, it's going to be Corey and Pete talking on phones on a freelance show. Going to be a lot of fun. And a big thanks to JP for keeping us on the air, and a big thanks to Adam. We'll talk to you next week. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.